Accession number 18547, Real 4.
Said Hook, Real 4.
Yeah, like I said, I was on Paddington Station. And there was all our Cockney seamen. Most of the crew came from London. And they looking at me because I was a PO and they were all ABs. And somebody in the end said about a telegram. I said, telegram? What's this about a telegram? They said, well, we've got a telegram. Tell us to get back. So I said, well, how's it good and gone back then? They said, we hardly got home when the telegram arrived. But anyway, when we get back to the ship, we're all in the rattle. Commander's report. And I'm the first one up because I was a PO. And he said, well, what happened to you? I said, I don't know about a telegram, sir. I said, I went to Wembley. He said, well, why did you give a Tynemouth address? But anyway, I got away with that. But all the rest of the crowd, they'd done so many day stoppage of leave and pay. And then we went, well, we had to go back to de-ammunition the ship. That's all it was about. And we de-ammunitioned that lot of ammunition, took the ship across the other side of the dock and took a new lot of ammunition. That's what it was all about. And left there that day. And we'd come down around here, Land's End, and up to Harwich, where we done a few practices with Marines. And then we loaded for Normandy. Yeah.
What happened at Normandy?
Oh, we were all right there. We were good. It was organisation, you know. The other landings went off half cock. But over here, well, we dried out every tide. We never made the beach. I had to wait for the tide to go out.
You were saying that you didn't actually go into the beach at D-Day?
Oh yeah, we did. But you couldn't get to the beach, dry beach. You had to wait for the tide to go out. We went in on Gold Beach at Arromanch.
What was the enemy fire like then?
In the morning it was bloody awful. But by mid-afternoon, time we got our troops ashore, it was not bad at all. A bit of strafing going on with aircraft. But Durham Light Infantry took our beach. Tyne and Tees, I always remember the 50th Div. They had two Tees on their flash, Tyne and Tees. And we picked up 18. Dead and put them in collapsible boats. They all had their overcoats on. It's the 6th of June. They all had overcoats on. Went up. A cruiser had knocked the guns out on our beach. And we went up the gun up on a bit of a cliff. And couldn't see nothing wrong with them. They're all dead in there. All the Germans were dead. I suppose it was a shock or something, I don't know. But I pinched one of their steel helmets. And a tin opener. And back to, where did we go from that? Oh, Omaha had gone wrong. Omaha Beach had gone wrong. And we went to Portland.
You went to what?
Portland. And this was all this part of the country was American. And we picked up Americans. I think it was Portland or Weymouth, I don't know which now. We used to do that much work. you know, one day ran into another, and one cargo ran into another.
So you went into Omaha Beach?
Yeah.
Was that much different from Gold Beach?
Well, we weren't there on that day. We weren't there on D-Day. But I should imagine it was pretty grim, because the beach was 90 degrees to the cliffs, great big high cliffs, and the beach was there like that. But I went ashore there, and there was a great big trench, great big trench. And down in the trench was a steam engine on his side. And I've never, ever met anybody who said they seen that engine. But we ran there on Utah Beach, Omaha and Utah. Soared. We'd done one trip, I think, to Mulberry Harbour. That was all. I think it was one trip, maybe two. And we ran there too. They took a port on the, which one, Rotterdam or somewhere. But we grounded on a tank, on one of the, and the tank come up through our bottom. And we went into King George V Graven Dock in Southampton, and took out. And 4 days leave there, which was exceptional in those days. I don't know how many trips we must have done, about 18 trips to Normandy. Oh, we brought back another crowd of Germans from there, from Sword Beach. That was Hermann Göring's Grenadiers as well.
From Sword Beach?
Sword Beach, yeah.
Well, how, what was their behaviour like?
Well, they were nothing in the same class as what the first ones had been. A lot of these were, you know, young chaps, boys. Glad to get it over. But the first lot we got, it's all up in that light North African uniform, you know, they were really good. They were like guardsmen. But this crowd over here then, and going up through Southampton Water, like I say, they had no latrines or nothing. So we got them up on deck, so they could clean the tank space out. And they were amazed going up by Leon Solent and places like that to see the buildings, because they'd been told everything was flat. And I remember steaming by Netley Hospital, and look, you know, great big hospital. But anyhow, about the third lot getting them up from the tank space, get up on had a big elevator, more bigger than this room. Used to get about 100 troops on this elevator. I was driving the winch, and as the elevator started to come through the Coleman, so one of the wires parted on the corner. And of course, whizz, away they all go. Went shooting down the tank space, all these troops, every one of them. But our first lieutenant was the one who was saying heave away or stop, you know. And he was the first one to go, and they all pitched on him. One died. One German died. He fell across a little ramp. But our first lieutenant, he was like a tomato that had been skinned. All his skin was ripped off his legs. Terrible. We never saw him again.
You mean he was beaten up?
No, all these Germans fell on him. Took all his skin off.
In the accident?
Yeah. Yeah, we never saw him again. But the German who died, we never got clear of that at the time I left the ship. There were still reports coming aboard and wanted verifying for this and verifying for that. How it happened, why it happened.
It was a hawser?
No, a brand new wire. We got in, I told you we had a refit of 4 days in Southampton. And the wires had had that much wear that they said they were going to fit four new wires. Well, they did, but Campbell Laird was the firm. This was not a splice, you had a fitting. and you put the wire in, the fitting, open the wire up, and then fill the fitting up with white metal so that the you can't pull the wire out the fitting. And they put the wire in, but they hadn't put the white metal in, so the wire just pulled out the fitting. And we never saw Jimmy again. A nice bloke. He's a bloke who wrote up there. That. Oh, not that.
You mean because he went off to hospital?
Yeah. That was him.
This is his name?
Yeah. That's his trouble. Yeah.
Left him an R. Carpenter.
He's dead now. Died last year.
Any other memories of the Normandy work?
I know the first. They called them pressure mines. There at anchor, we used to sometimes have an escort back. And we were waiting for escort. And this great big swell come in from the Atlantic. And this was, these blooming mines was going up everywhere. This was the difference in the pressure of the, where the wave was, to make up for like a ship. And one went off under a cruiser. I think it's a Scylla. S-Y-L-L-A, I think. But anyhow, a tug come and got over straight away. Great big tug. And we sailed at the same time with an ML escort. And we'd do 10 knots. But when we were going by ride, going into the Solent, the Scylla was given leave. The tug had got her back. Hours ahead of us. But Normandy was all right. We never had a lot of, it was organization.
So you didn't have any going bomb happy?
Not at Normandy, no. We had a lot of crew changes in the meantime. We had four who jumped ship at Harwich before the landing, and four seamen. And we went to Normandy, and a couple trips after we got this tank on our bottom and gave 4 days leave. And we were on Southampton Station to come home. And an escort was bringing these four seamen back. And they hadn't been anywhere. They didn't get home. They finished up in an A-stack, up in Essex somewhere.
Why do you think they deserted?
They had enough of it. And they all got 90 days.
What did the rest of the crew think of them?
Didn't work, didn't bother them. I think a lot of them would have liked to have done the same. I had a hard time for 12 months. Went for six landings and God knows how many trips we'd done. But there it was. They went to the Portsmouth detention quarters at hell of a time. They never came back to the ship again, but they used to write to us.
What do you remember happening next?
After Normandy was over, we were knocked about. We didn't have any davits one side, and oh, we brought up high-tide prisoners home from the Med. And in the Bay of Biscay, the upper deck split right across. Heavy weather. They were only welded ships, you know. and this scene gave, and we never knew about it until there could hear all this screaming coming up from the ice house. And they were looking at the sky up through the deck. But we had that repaired in Swansea. Put some straps across it in over to in the Bay of Biscay and put some straps and 5-8 bolts soldered together. And we had Service Corps people as well, we had, and some special stuff that we got off Pandalaria, an island out there. Some guns that they wanted over here. Some, Italian guns. And then we steamed round to Harwich. And after Normandy went for a refit at Hull, in the William Wright dock, you know William Wright dock?
Indeed.
Came out the William Wright dock after they'd done our bottom and went down King George dock, is it? A big one?
Yes, King George V dock.
And I knew a bloke in Hull before my trawler days, a bloke called George Albert Burr. He always go and get you a packet of fags or anything, you know, he was one of these people, like a spiff sort of bloke. And I knew his address, and we had hundreds of American blankets aboard the ship, army blankets. Beautiful stuff. We still got one in this house now. And I sent for George Albert Burr and asked him if he wanted the 50 blankets, 50 Yankee blankets. He got rid of them. And I'll never see him again. But he lived up there as a road. Oh, some mistake. Long time ago. And then one day, was that a smashing captain in those days? He sent for me, he said, what do you make of this? And I said, my God, captain, I said, this means trouble. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, we've done this before. I said, this is bulks of wood to go on the upper deck to carry an LCT. I said, this only means one thing, you're going out east. He said, I thought perhaps it was. I said, well, I've had enough of it aboard here. I said, where were your 5 or 6 landings? I said, no, I don't want to see no more. He said, put in a request to leave the ship to gain experience. So, which I did. And within a few days, we went on leave. Went on leave for 14 days. And when I got back, my relief was aboard the ship. Shipwright. And me and the Sparker Peel as well, he said he wanted to, he didn't want to go out east. So both reliefs were there and we went up to Paragon Station and caught the train for Chatham. And I forget what went wrong. We somewhere or other didn't get there quick enough. I think we went to his house that night because he lived in Harrow. Anyhow, by the time we got to Chatham, we were adrift. And as I went across the parade ground, I heard him piping my name. Report to Foreign Section Drafting Office. Well, I hadn't been here yet, you know, I hadn't been battled in or nothing. So, I forget how we got out of the being adrift, 12 hours adrift we were. But I went down to the Foreign Section Draft and I was said, 14 days leave Foreign Service. I said, but I've not joined yet. I said, I've only just coming in from a ship. I said, well, there you are, Foreign Service. And this was for party chain, they called it, party chain. And what a party chain was a beach crew on a landing for rigging the pontoons and that. But anyhow, I joined and I said to the Chief Shipwright, how do I get rid of this draft? He said, well, the only thing you can do is put in a request to see the commander, drafting commander, which I did. And snowing, I know that the morning I went to see him, it was cold as hell. And he said, yes, what do you want? I said, well, I got a draft shed here for a party chain. I said, I know what a party chain is, because I've been mixed up with them. I said, but I'm only just joining. He said, I've got a letter here from your captain saying what a conscientious man you are and that you want to gain further experience. He said, you'll gain no experience in here, only out of loaf. He said, so the sooner you're out of here on the ship, the better. I said, but I've got a DSM to come that I could pick up if I'm away long enough. And he said, okay, that's all right. And he sent me down to a commando camp down on the Kent coast where I finished out the war.
How do you feel now about having served in the Second World War?
All right. I had some good times. I would much rather where I was than if I'd have stayed home here in that bloody boat building yard. I used to hate that.
What was the worst time of the war for you?
Anzio.
What was the best time?
New York.